We are joined this week on The Green by contributor Eileen Dalabrida, who is our go-to person for retail, and we are asking her to once again help us in that realm this week by kind of taking a deeper look at exactly how the retail sector is being impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Eileen, we appreciate you taking some time to join us on The Green this week.
It's always good to be here, Tom.
Well, big picture, what is the impact that the retail sector is seeing from the pandemic? I imagine like every other piece of the economy, the numbers are somewhat unprecedented.
This is a violent shaking of the tree. Across the board, retailers are seeing a 60% decline in traffic in March, and the April numbers are expected to be gruesome, much worse. Last week, JCPenney was unable to make a $12 million loan payment. True Religion has declared bankruptcy. It is hastening the decline of retailers that already were in trouble. And we're not going to see all stores emerge from this pandemic when everything's over.
And I talked in the intro about haves and have-nots and how you kind of brought that up in your piece this week. Let's start with the haves. I mean, who's actually seeing big increases in sales and perhaps in an odd way benefiting from this pandemic?
Well, the big four, Amazon, Walmart, Target, and Costco, are blowing the doors off. Amazon alone has really blossomed, and shoppers are spending about 35% more than usual with Amazon. We've seen vast increases in specific products that probably aren't surprising, such as cold and flu medicines that are selling at 861% above normal. But then there are some things that are some surprises, that animal lovers are want to make sure that their pets are taken care of. So pet food sales are up 964%. We're munching chips while we're watching Netflix. Chips are up 367%. So it isn't just toilet paper, and it isn't just flour for all the people who are home baking, or hand sanitizer.
And, of course, there's also the other side of this, the have-nots. Tell us a little bit about, you know, who falls into that group and what's the impact on them of this pandemic?
Clothing stores are very hard hit. Their business, even online, is down by more than half. Plus, there is the dilemma of what to do with spring fashions. There has actually been some talk about malls loaning retailers empty storefronts as pop-up spaces so that they can put their spring merchandise there and try to sell it. There's another school of thought that let's just mothball it. Let's just put it all in a warehouse and try again to sell it next year when people are able to shop.
And we've talked previously.
Sporting goods are down. It's really just anything that you don't have to have.
And we've talked previously on the show a lot about the hit for restaurants and hospitality. Can you give us some examples about how that's playing out locally now that we're over a month into the kind of closure of most restaurants?
Well, we can expect that some restaurants are not going to reopen, that if the business, like a traditional retailer, if the business was marginal, they're just throwing in the towel. And we already know about one, the Grub, which is a part of a Texas chain, but that's at the Concord Mall location, and they're just giving up on it. I talked with Xavier Teshido, a very successful restaurateur, so he's trying to use the time as productively as possible. They're putting in a new floor at Kid Chalene's now, so they don't have to interrupt operations after things get up and running. They're doing takeaway, but it's only a small percentage of the revenue that they got from their business. A lot of restaurants were able to get government loans. Some were not. But even the ones that were are really going to be hard-pressed to repay them with all the other expenses that they're going to have when they reopen, the money that they owe their landlords, the money that they owe their vendors. So Teshedo talked about direct grants, that might be what it takes to turn around this extremely challenged industry.
You mentioned the takeout piece of it. And I recall in your piece, there was at least the one person who gave you kind of a percentage of what takeout was compared to what they normally would have in sales. What was
about
that?
About 10 to 15%.
Yeah, that's kind of a staggering number. I suppose like you just cannot sustain on that.
No, it means you're down 85 to 90%.
And often on the show, during our coverage of holiday shopping and back-to-school shopping, we've discussed, you know, kind of the split between online shopping and in-person shopping. And in past years, we've said, well, you know, people are still going to stores for some of these things, and there's still a desire to do that. Obviously, this situation has changed that entirely, pushing a lot of people online. How big a shift are we seeing to online sales at this juncture?
Well, the pandemic has propelled online shopping far faster and further than if it had evolved organically. So what will be interesting to see will be when this is all over, will people continue to shop online, or will they want that personal touch that they get from the boutique store that they really like so much, and where they know the owner, or they know the staff? That might be a problem, because stores aren't just going to be able to open and operate as they did before. There will likely be restrictions on how many people you can have in the store. There will likely be less inventory, because the supply chains have been so hammered. So retail is not going to look like it did for a long time, or possibly never again.
I was going to say, I mean, already we're seeing perhaps some hints at what that will look at, because retailers who are still open have really had to adjust the way they operate in terms of staffing and interacting with customers. Can you tell us a little bit about what we're seeing right now locally from stores that are still open, and how they have to kind of operate and interact?
Well, masks, gloves, and plexiglass barriers are standard at most supermarkets. At Honey Bee, a farm fresh market in Trolley Square, only one customer is allowed in the store at a time, most often to pick up an order. There's no squeezing the melon, no sniffing the tomato, none of that. You touch it, you buy it, even if you're wearing gloves. Meanwhile, it's been very difficult to staff these businesses. At Honey Bee, half the staff quit because they were wary of dealing with the public, and that's happened at a lot of grocery stores. So grocery stores and delivery services are paying more, but it's still hard to get people.
And as you kind of alluded to earlier, you know, a lot of this kind of thing is going to carry over to when things reopen. In the conversations you had, you know, is there a pretty big concern about how quickly customers will come back, how much these stores will be able to bounce back? There's certainly a pent-up demand, but on the other side of that, as you mentioned, is, you know, how do you open up your business, particularly if it's a business that relies a lot on personal contact, and make people feel safe?
Well, there's a survey that says that 24% of people who were mall shoppers won't go back for at least 6 months after things start back again. And only less than 5% say, yeah, when the store's open, I'm ready to be out there. So it is a concern. People have gotten into this habit of hunkering down. Plus, it isn't, there's no definitive end to something like a pandemic. It's not like the war is over and everybody rushes out into the street and hugs each other. It's a gradual thing, and it's going to take a while for people to feel safe.
And I imagine when you talk about that timeline, you're also talking about if people are saying, well, I don't want to go back to a store for 6 months, that goes right into back-to-school shopping. And even perhaps, depending on when they reopen, into holiday shopping, which are obviously things that would be really helpful to some of these businesses to get back on their feet if they were able to operate in a normal way.
Yeah, I will be curious to see how businesses innovate. nobody innovates like the good old USA. And I am thinking about this guy, James Snow, and he owns a gift shop in downtown Middletown, and he had to close down like everybody else with a non-essential business. So he is relying on social media, and he is doing the port side drop off to customers at home, small items he can mail. I think that people will find a way to do this. I guess it's just, can they do it in time? Can they pay their rent and pay their debt service and get fresh inventory after this long period of not making money?
Having said all that, I'm curious about your overall impression after talking to all these people for your story. How much do you think retail is going to be permanently changed by this pandemic?
I don't think retail will ever be the same. I think that we might see a divide between the haves and the have-nots. I think that this has really strengthened the giants, and they have done a really good job. I was at Costco last weekend, and it was like a well-oiled machine, and they had adapted, and they got it down. I couldn't get the fresh salmon I wanted, but I got my rotisserie chicken. They had toilet paper. They had people directing shoppers to maintain a safe distance and things like that. I think that this has really highlighted how adaptable, how nimble, how flexible we need to be in business in the 21st century.
Eileen Dalabrida, as always, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your reporting. Thanks for being with us on The Green this week.
Good to be with you, Tom.